Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And in studio with us on New Year's Eve, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons in what I would call, how would you describe this? It's not your lawman's outfit. You're not wearing your uniform.
It's not my lawman's outfit. This is my Andrew McKay outfit.
Oh, you look like me. You got shorts and tennis shoes and a sweater over the
quarter zip, long sleeve.
You're trying to outdo me. Trying to make.
No, I'm.
Because when we stand next to each other, people never look at me, except adversely.
You're gonna grow your hair.
You gonna grow your hair out too?
Yeah, I think I'll do that.
No,
I'll
probably not. All right.
I don't know if I've ever seen you wear a hat.
Occasionally, rarely, every once in a while for baseball, you know. Like the cool hat that they gave us, which are really nice. All right, on to serious matters on New Year's Eve. We had a horrible story. A man was hit and killed by a train in Atmore, Archer, Old Chemstrand kind of vicinity. Is that right?
Yeah. The report is that a train had seen someone, obviously, the last minute they stopped, but you don't stop trains quickly. When I was at the Pensacola Police Department, this would actually happen quite often.
We had, like, over on Scenic Highway.
Yeah. And we always wonder how you get hit by a train. They're loud,
yeah.
And they've got a big light, and sometimes people don't intentionally get out of the way.
I understand.
But we were caught up there, and unfortunately there was a deceased male underneath the train, and obviously had to work with a CSX railroad to get that person out. We're investigating it. We're working with the railroads and trying to identify the individual.
I always think that that's got to be an awful thing for a train conductor. You know, I think like the subway cases, all that kind of stuff. Just like, I know when somebody dies like in a car crash, it's awful. It's hard to get back in the car. But for those people, it's a horrible thing. You also had there's a fight last night. Is that right? A fracas?
We had a fight on Softly Pines Road. We got a report that a guy was attacking a woman who was in the car with a pipe. When we get there, he's talking what is termed as gibberish. We established that there was probable cause to make an arrest, obviously, with a pipe attacking a car. That's not cool. So we ended up trying to arrest the guy, and he hit us with a mop and took several deputies to subdue this particular individual. So
the woman's okay?
The woman is okay. And the deputies are okay.
People called. Several people called. That's
several
good.
Calls. Several
that's
calls.
Good?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's it also gives you an idea of how long it lasted and how obvious it was that this guy needed to be restrained. He was taken to the hospital to be checked out for what I was described as minor injuries, and then he's taken to the jail with multiple felonies.
Wow. All right.
Attacking a woman, obviously it was in a car, and also fighting and attempting to injure at least the deputies.
Question, certainly in that case, if I'm a bystander, I can intervene to stop him physically. If I feel it's safe to do so, I can intervene.
It is.
I'm justified.
It is reasonable to think that someone whose life is in danger.
Yeah.
You can do that. We just ask that you be careful. I mean,
sure.
That guy's got a pipe. Don't injure yourself. Do whatever you can to keep everyone safe.
Well, that was my next thought. Is the way the situation is described to me, it sounds like her life is in danger. I'm justified in shooting him if I'm carrying.
I think that, again, considering where the individual is, what would a reasonable person believe could happen with a pipe? And I think, certainly if I'm in a car and you're attacking my car with a pipe, you may get one swing.
Yeah.
That's about it. So I think that, again, I hate to say, yes, you're good. No, you're not good.
Right.
But I think that again, we look at this reasonableness standard. And if you believe someone's life is in danger, then you can use
the reason deadly force. The reason it came up in my mind was I'm thinking, well, several people called. That means several people were seeing this happen. Nobody intervened. Why didn't anybody intervene? Did nobody care? You know, those are the kind of questions that were going on in my mind. That's the only reason I asked.
Well, again, and I don't know either, but we can imagine there's some potential that swinging the pipe wildly or that sort of thing,
right,
trying to attack someone. And if there's no other way, I mean, unless you got a bigger pipe, it may be best to just let law enforcement take care of it.
You guys also had, it had been in northofscambia.com, I know that we had one of the new Thrashers, I believe, the TH-73, the new helicopters from Whiting Field, which historically their helicopters do have mechanical problems and go down. It's not uncommon. But you had one that you guys had to respond to. Is that right over in, Atmore also?
Yeah, the Atmore cutoff. They had a military helicopter land because of mechanical issues. And I guess it's kind of scary that the way you termed it, that those things go down. I don't know that I want to be in those that they when they go down. But these, I'm assuming if it's a trainer type thing, someone there's a experienced pilot. But the bottom line is it was able to land over there behind the, I think it's a Tom Thumb up there. There's plenty of land up there
plenty
to land on, as long as you don't land on 29.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, there were no injuries, and the military took care of the military stuff.
Again, glad that, nothing really adverse happened. Speaking of things were at least attempted, back on Christmas Day, I think we had a... you guys had a Terrence Franklin is wanted for an event that took place on Michael Drive on Christmas Day?
Yeah, this is the one, I believe, where he got into an argument with a family member and ended up shooting that family member and then fled the scene. So we have been looking for, you mentioned his name, Terrence James Franklin. He's born in 79. We've got him up on our social media platforms, wanted for attempted homicide. So if you know where Terrence James Franklin is, or where he may have fled to, please let us know, because we'd love to put him in jail.
This happened almost 2 weeks ago now, but it's a case that received a lot of attention, but you and I haven't obviously been on the air because I've been on vacation for a while. But the case with the Marine who was stationed at NAS Pensacola, and my understanding, I guess, is he contacted an escort, and then very bad things happened. And the investigation has produced a lot of really, awful details about this. Can you tell us some of what's going on in this case or what happened here?
Yeah, first of all, let me tell you that our deputies and investigators did a jam-up job getting on this pretty quickly. We first got a call that we'll call it a suspicious circumstance, but the lady was missing. The victim was missing. Mm-hmm. Her family and her friends noticed that the hotel door that she was staying in was left ajar. Her car was still in the parking lot. These things just weren't normal. When we get there, we noticed that, yes, the door was ajar. But there's also her phones were still there, her keys were still there, the blanket from the bed in the hotel room was missing. Just some things that didn't look right. So we immediately started working it as not just suspicious, but we were working it as a potential homicide. Investigation, again, as I mentioned, our deputies did a great job. We located identified at least a car that was in the parking lot at a given time. We tracked that back down to the military guy that you mentioned, Marine, and then we did more search warrants, and that led us to an area in Mobile, Alabama. We tracked that. Our detectives went over there and unfortunately found the deceased body of the missing female. Contacted Mobile Police Department. They helped us out with recovering the body from a ditch or a retention area. It was partially in the water. And then we also did some search warrants on this individual's phone, Ellington's phone, and found some really disturbing searches, some Google searches. What does a body look like after 2 days? What does a dead body look like after 2 days? Can you scream if you're being strangled? Just some crazy, crazy.
How long? Things. Can you go before police are looking for you?
Yeah. Well, there's something about there was a search about how many homicides of or deaths of prostitutes go unsolved. So to us, clearly there was an intent. This is before he shows up at the hotel. There was a cord, I think it was a PlayStation cord that was left at just a cord left at the hotel room, and then we were able to figure out where he was going. He was heading up to. Up in Alabama,
okay.
up near, I guess, Talladega area, and it was central Alabama. And when they stopped him, they found the PlayStation minus the cord.
Okay.
So all these things were kind of fitting together. And the fact that he just, I say AWOL, I'm not sure what the official term was and how long he had to be gone from the military to be considered AWOL. But he wasn't on NAS where he was supposed to be, and he was heading on a bus to Opelika, Alabama. When again, we had notified their authorities and said, hey, we sure wish you would pick this guy up for us. He's there, and he's going to be extradited to Escambia County.
And you believe, based on the investigation, that the crime actually took place here But the body was transported after?
That's correct. Okay. Well, we believe that she was killed in the hotel room,
okay,
and transported to Mobile. He had rented a car. This the car that he was in. And then he returned to the base sometime later, and then he was on the run out from that point on.
And you know, I think some people had been critical of you guys for releasing that she had been an escort. And I know Andy Hobbs had kind of addressed this previously, but to me, that's just, A, part of the fact pattern of the story, B, part of the reminder that we have vulnerable people that, you know, people had this, I don't know, that some people, some professions are more vulnerable than others. That's certainly one.
Yeah, I mean, we were very careful. There's some things that we don't do. We didn't identify when we found the body, we had a missing person. We didn't put that out yet. I mean, although we suspected that it, obviously, mm-hmm, we were doing the investigation, we suspected that the missing person was the homicide victim that we found in Mobile, but we didn't contact the family yet. So some members of media, some members of other agencies put the information that they connected to.
I see. Okay.
And so that did happen. But we do... We try to be as transparent as possible, and the fact that they were staying at a hotel, and the fact that he was looking for an escort, and the fact that we believe he took advantage of her being an escort. And again, he did a Google search on what happens, you know, how many prostitutes go unsolved, prostitute murders go unsolved. We think that was we want to be clear with the public in what we're doing and how we're doing it. But keeping in mind as best we can that we do want to protect the identities of victims, and we want to not compromise the integrity of the investigation itself. So there was discussion on whether we add that.
Yeah.
There was discussion on whether we add the fact that he was an active duty military.
Of course.
Because we certainly appreciate not one bad apple doesn't you know spoil the whole bunch.
Thousands of people, out
right,
of which one.
Right. But these two things were important part of the investigation. And so we wanted to make sure people understood what's going on throughout the investigation as best we can.
I appreciate that. And that's one of the things, you know, I'm often pretty deferential to you guys in terms of, you know, if you don't put out information, I'm not putting it out because, A, you know, caring for the victim, but also the compromising the integrity of the investigation, making sure that you're able to do your job. I know that's mission one. And, you know, if I'm... Like, as a news person, if I'm not helping you do your job, what am I doing? You know,
we made a comment at the end of our release, and it said that it was complicated by the fact that people put the information, they put two and two together. you know, as open and transparent as we want to be, I think it's important for us to allow the investigators to do their job. There's a potential that because a connection was made and they, mm-hmm, put out that there was a body found, that the suspect, who we already had, obviously, we had already seized his phone. We already tracked that phone, but through a search warrant. You know, when he knew that we had found the body, we felt like he would try to leave town, and to us, that would compromise the investigation, and it did. And luckily, our investigators were on top of it, and they found all other ways to locate this individual. But we weren't happy with the fact that the information was out, the identity was put out. And the fact that we were on to, you know, that level of the investigation, because again, it's our investigation. You should, in my opinion, allow us to do that, put that information out as we get it. We were hoping to, once we found the body, go ahead and pick him up. We weren't able to do that because the information was out. And then luckily, through good work, we were able to find him in Opelika and had the authorities over there find him. That could have turned out much differently.
Wow. All right. Turning to some good things, although it's a good thing about a bad thing, but you know, you're doing this memorial plaza out in front of the sheriff's office, mm-hmm, and you're going to do a groundbreaking coming up on the 16th. Is that right?
That's correct. Our Skidmore County Sheriff's Foundation is footing the bill and handling this, and we certainly appreciate the work that they're doing. So there's no tax dollars going to go into this, even though I think you could probably use tax dollars for this. We are not. I think that I appreciate the work of the foundation, and we're going to have a groundbreaking, as you mentioned, on the 16th of January. Everyone's going to be invited. We'll probably put more information out. We've been already raising funds in earnest about trying to get this thing taken care of. It's a memorial plaza, mm-hmm, and it's not just a memorial. So I think that's going to be much larger, probably three times as large as the existing memorial, which we've already moved and relocated to our Cantonment or Molino precinct. So we're very excited about a new way to honor those who paid that ultimate sacrifice.
And you're doing a swearing in on Monday, so we'll have that take place. I know you're big. I know you don't love these formalities and events. I do have a question though. In advance, I know it's gonna put you on the spot a little bit.
Okay,
but you had sat in with Brent on Cat Country doing the morning show on Friday, right?
Yeah,
you sat in with him and kind of co-hosted with him. And of course, you're here with me most Tuesdays. Which show do you like better?
Well, I think the show that I'm on currently is my favorite today, and the one that it was on Thursday or Friday was also a favorite of mine.
At that time,
you can have two favorite children. It happens that way. You can have two favorite teams.
I'm not sure that's true, Dad, but yeah, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, the talk format is really good. Really, you guys do a great job. But you got country music playing over there, and if you play a little music in the background, you could really up your game. And it's probably against your rules.
I was
here.
Just 100% curious how you would diplomatic this answer. So, Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Chip, thanks for all you do. Thanks for what you folks are going to be dealing with tonight. I know it's always a little bit of a hectic time on New Year's Eve. Thank you for the time, and we'll see you next Tuesday, I hope. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Y'all take care.